The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
It's music time. John Cadell from Oculac.com joined this week by Claire Beck. And are we allowed to play this song?
It's coming home, it's coming, football's coming home, it's coming.
Bit repetitive, isn't it? 30 years of hurt, of course, is 52 now at this stage. The Lightning Seeds and David Bledel and Frank Skinner. Was it good in the first place, Claire?
To be honest, Matt, I just have a little bit of PTSD listening to that now, because this morning the first thing I saw when I opened Twitter was a picture of an England fan crowd surfing, and it was just something that I did not need to see. First time in the morning or ever. Did you see this?
No, I didn't.
Don't look at it. Don't look at it. Elderly man in his birthday suit, legs akimbo.
Ageist.
Being pushed. I don't want to see anybody's butthole first thing in the morning, not even my own, okay?
Okay, that wasn't the angle I expected to take on that particular song, but what do you like it, John? Do you?
Well, here's the angle that you probably did want. It is an incredibly good pop song. Absolutely brilliant pop song. Mainly because of the descending bass line, which harks back to Hello, Goodbye and Dear Prudence by the Beatles. That is always a surefire winner, just the descending bass line.
That's so nerdish,
no,
isn't it?
No, it's not. Well,
you didn't invite us on the show to be cool, Matt. Deal with this.
The Lightning Seeds write great pop songs.
They do.
Certainly in 96 when this came out, they were one of the torchbearers for Britpop. They were certainly on the less edgy, more melodic side. And if you have the greatest hits, there is like hundreds or at least like
There's
scores of
eight.
Great, at least eight huge, huge, great melodious pop songs. And I would never tire of this song. I play this song even when England aren't in a World Cup.
Yeah, but is it a bit presumptuous, the whole thing that football?
Of course it is. Of course it. I mean, but that's the Brits for you. Like, when it comes to their national team, they're always going to win the World Cup. The English. They're always
going to
win.
They're not representing Scotland, Wales, or Northern
Ireland. No, of course they're not. But yeah, they're always saying we're going to win this time, and it's become a bit of a joke. But this time, you know, there's no egos in the team. Gareth Southgate is a very likeable bloke. He's doing really, really well. And I think, like, absolutely reintroduce Three Lions. Absolutely.
Yeah, and it's climbing up the British chart. Look, they're having their Italian 90 moments. Just let them have
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Let them enjoy themselves.
It's actually, talking of Italian 90 moments, do we have great songs for supporting our Irish soccer team? Is Put Them Under Pressure come under that category?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's one of the best songs of all time.
Banger, and what a riff.
All time.
It's the only time I've ever air guitared to an Illan pipe, for God's sake.
But what we do have is the song which could keep Three Lions off the number one spot in the British charts. Let's hear American Idiot.
American Idiot is rocking up the charts. I looked today, I think it's number 9 at the moment in the UK singles charts. And of course, because Donald is coming to visit the UK, as if they're not having enough trouble this week, he's coming to visit the UK at the weekend. And it's basically somebody has started a petition to get it to number 1 for the week that he's here. And rightly so. Rightly so.
On the basis of political gesture or the fact, is it a good Green Day song?
Well, it's a Green Day song about George W. Bush from American Idiot, the album, which was something of a concept album. And it's basically saying, you know, this guy's a moron. And I mean, that's the beauty of a great timeless song. And protest songs often age, but this one just seems to have a new angle or a new president.
We will have to talk after the break about Longitude, if only because I have two teenage daughters who will give out to me for being out of touch if I don't talk about it. But there are other gigs on before we get there this week. And indeed in Marley Park, Bruno Mars is playing this Thursday night. Is that a gig people should be looking forward to, Claire?
It is. I think it's funny timing because the weekend of Longitude, like Bruno Mars would have quite a young fan base. Longitude's quite a young fan base. I don't think it's sold out. It might have sold out on a different
Bruno
week.
Mars?
Or, Bruno
yeah.
Mars,
because
yeah.
Longitude at the moment is like gold dust.
Yeah,
the
kids turbo sold out.
The kids are learning about the black market and trading in Longitude tickets.
Yeah, no, Bruno Mars, I mean, he's an amazing songwriter. He's so passionate about what he does. He's got loads of hits. It'll be really good family day out, but yeah, it's just, I think it's unfortunate timing. If it was just on a different week, I think it would be, you know, people would be a lot more excited about, but it's kind of fallen by the wayside
It will be a great gig.
And Sister Sledge, you're supporting.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's going to be fab.
Let's hear a little bit of Locked Out of Heaven. Is that one of the songs that you've heard too often? I know that if you're at the gig on Thursday night, you'll probably be bouncing along to that because that's what you recognise. But is that one of those songs that has just been played to death on radio?
I wouldn't have thought so.
And I think as well, because he's quite prolific, so there seems to be like, there'll be a new hit and a new hit and a new hit will always kind of come up next. Like, it's not like, you know, with Poor Adele, for example, where some of the songs are just like flogged to death on the radio because you're waiting for the next song to come out. Like, there's always kind of a new Bruno Mars song to get into your ear and make you sing along to,
and
I think.
And he's pretty multi-genre as well. He can turn his hand to anything and sound convincing. He reminds me a bit of Prince like that. He can sing anything.
There's one thing that though is just a bit unfortunate. He had that brilliant song that was released a few months ago with Cardi B. She was supposed to be playing the Sunday of Longitude. She pulled out because she is very heavily pregnant at the moment, so couldn't travel, and she's pulled all of her gigs. But wouldn't it have been lovely if Cardi B had come to do her rap at the Bruno Mars gig? That would have been amazing. But no, she's at home. Her husband, fiance is going to be down at Longitude.
You didn't get the Queen of Marley Park at the weekend, John.
It wasn't Queen. I hate to be music snob about it, but no, I don't want. I saw Queen.
That would be so unlike you.
No, I saw Queen fronted by Paul Rogers in 2005 in the Point, and it was the most depressing gig I've ever been at. And you just cannot replace Freddie Mercury. And I know Adam Lambert says he's not trying to replace him; he's just trying to do tribute to. And that's fine, but I don't want to see that.
Okay, well, you didn't see it. Okay,
no.
Will you be going to Paul Simon on Friday night?
No, I've seen Paul. I saw Paul Simon in Montauk in 1995, actually. But no, I won't be going to see him. I don't like Paul Simon as a person, and it sort of affects my enjoyment of his music now.
Why wouldn't you like Paul Simon as a person? I don't know enough about him as a person to make a judgment. How can you?
Well, I don't want to say...
Without landing us in the live, of course.
Yes, but there are a couple of biographies out, one of which came out last year. He is just not, as far as I am aware, and in my own personal opinion, I don't think he's a very nice person. And that has affected. Also, he called a compilation "Negotiations and Love Songs." Piss off! Put "Negotiation" in an album title? Nah, not rock and roll.
I don't know anything about this.
Yeah, but hang on, that's an interesting. Does it matter what somebody is like? It's like the way they say, "Never meet your heroes."
Can you?
If you actually are into music, and if the music is good, does it matter a damn?
No,
what
I mean,
about the person.
Warren
is
Zevon
like?
Was famously an utter cock, but I think his music is brilliant. So. Can you separate the artist from the art? I don't know. But it just, for me, in Paul Simon's case, there's just a bit of a bang of knob off him.
Okay, diamonds on the soles of her shoes.
She makes the sign of a teaspoon, he makes the sign of a wave. The poor boy changes clothes and he puts on aftershave to compensate for his ordinary shoes. She said, honey, take me dancing, but they ended up by sleeping in a doorway by the bodegas and the lights on over Broadway, wearing diamonds on the soles of their shoes. And I could say, ooh. And everybody here would know what I was talking about. I mean, everybody here would know exactly what I was talking about. I'm talking about
classic song.
A great song.
Classic album, classic everything. I'm actually DJing down at Longitude on Friday night. If not, myself and my mom would be front and centre for that Paul Simon gig. Because now, there's a lot of things with kind of heritage artists. They say, oh yeah, final tour. Like, let's be real, it might not be his final tour. He might trot himself
well,
back out again.
He's about 74, isn't it? So there's a good chance it will be his final
maybe,
tour.
Yeah, maybe. But no, fabulous live. Absolutely brilliant. Yeah. Like, the whole band, everything.
But what about the accusation of artistic appropriation that he effectively lifted a cultural type of music and put it into his own for his own profit.
But he also lifted up a lot of that those musicians with him, like, as well. Do you know that he didn't just steal it and go, haha, I'm going to take this away for myself. Like, he did.
I mean, what he could have done is he could have given some of them songwriting credits on some of the Graceland songs, because I tell you this for nothing, that sound was not in his head going over to South Africa. Absolutely not.
And they don't have proper credits.
No.
You see, I suppose that was just a thing, isn't it? Like, people give out now. They're like, oh, Beyonce had 30-something songwriters. Sorry, so did everybody. They just weren't credited properly until recently.
Yeah, and then he released a song called The Rhythm of the Saints to follow up Graceland, and that had about 2 good songs on it, and the rest was muck. So he hasn't really had, I suppose, he came back a couple of years ago with... I mean,
does he do any of the old Simon and Garfunkel stuff? Does he
does. Oh, of course he does. But, like, he literally couldn't stand on stage when Art was singing Bridge Over Troubled Water because he was so jealous. He was so jealous of Art Garfunkel's voice.
Who had better voice?
Absolutely, a better voice. Well, when you say better, I mean a prettier voice, a sort of a more velvety, sort of richer voice than Paul Simon, who's a bit. He sort of sings in his accent, whereas Art Garfunkel just sounds like an angel, and. Paul could never really like the fact.
I'm so afraid you're going to tell me something terrible, because, like, Bridge Over Troubled Water is one of my favorite albums of all time. I'm like, stop ruining Paul Simon for me. So many artists have been ruined because you find out that they're not nice people.
It's just what I think from the reams of things
from
I've
your
read
extensive
about him.
Reading.
Yeah, of popular music culture. Yeah,
Claire. What's the best that's going to be heard at Longitude this week, apart from your own DJing set?
Apart from, 5 to 7pm at the Today FM tent, Saturday and Friday, ladies and gents. I think, like, this lineup is really, really, as the kids would say, on point.
Oh,
you
God.
Know, they went for a specific market, they went for a specific age group, and they really, really picked well. Like, Migos are going to be there, all of these brilliant people, Post Malone, and the Sunday, as they often do, they have it aimed at a slightly older crowd, kind of mixed in. So you've got the likes of Solange, SZA, Anderson .Paak, Sampha, all of these people. I think it's going to be a great weekend of music, and I think it'll have a good effect on the crowd and the atmosphere, because older people that maybe would have been tempted to go for the full weekend and then were sneering maybe at what people in the crowd were wearing or how they were acting, you know, just being young and free and happy in a field for the most part, they're not going to be here because there's nothing for them. So everyone could just go and have a good time and listen to music that they like. So
let's have a little bit
really
of Anderson .Paak. This is Come Down.
I'm
good music, John, for bopping around to in the sun at the weekend.
I was just picturing like a 25, 30,000 people in Marley Park and if it's sunny on Sunday, just like
yeah, but hang on. World Cup final on Sunday.
Yeah, but like I don't think the Longitude audience by and large are going to be overly fussed about that. And if they are, there'll be a screen in Marley Park.
Oh, there'll be a screen somewhere. Yeah. But like honestly, the Sunday for Solange and Anderson .Paak alone, like two incredible lives. I was nearly bawling during her performance at Body and Soul a few years ago. She's just incredible.
Let's hear Losing You. Some good pop on Sunday, isn't it?
Yeah.
Coming down at the end of the weekend.
Yeah. It's funny, people say Beyonce is like one of the coolest people in the world.
No, but Solange is even cooler than Beyonce.
Yeah. Solange is cooler.
Another great thing about Longitude that I'm looking forward to over the weekend is the amount of Irish talent, just really, really good Irish talent. They're not just hoofed in there, you know, to warm up the stage for the people walking in. Laboom are going to be fantastic on the Sunday. Mango, Mathman, Sole, Erica Cody, DJ Deese, like
Reggie Snow,
brilliant. I must take my hat off to Reggie Snow. I went to see him in the Olympia a couple of months back and he had a DJ and that was it. The DJ's a slash hype man and that was it. And the Olympia, like what, like he could have said, oh crap, I'm playing the Olympia. I should get like a full band. I should get McPyro to come and guest on Charlie Brown. He didn't do it. He just was like, no, this is me. This is what I do. I don't need bells and whistles. And it was brilliant. The audience absolutely loved it. There's going to be a lot of, I think some of the best sets that people are going to see over the weekend are going to be coming from Irish acts, which is really cool.
Are you including yourself in that, Claire?
Of course.
Yeah, and I'll be down at Longitude spending 2 hours of Bob Dylan on the Saturday between Never and Stupid O'Clock.
Right. Okay, picks of the week. Give us some selections. What are you going for? What reissue do you have for us this week, John?
Yeah, that's always funny, Matt. That joke never
funny enough,
goes
tired. I actually downloaded a reissue myself this week and found myself really enjoyed it. It's 25 years since Bjork came with Debut.
Yes.
Well, I'm telling you this much, it stands up when you listen to it 25 years
Yeah, on. It does. It still sounds, it doesn't sound of its time. It still sounds contemporary.
Sounds really fresh.
Yeah. That is in my, I would say, top three albums ever. I absolutely love it. I listen to it all the time. I didn't realise it was quite 25 years
it's
old.
25 years is a special reissue.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. It's just beautiful. And she was so creative. And there's not like a style, like Bjork has gone through so many different styles of music. It's not like, oh, this is
and
her
I don't
dance
like a lot of her stuff,
her
later stuff, but this is.
But that's the beauty of Bjork. She pushes everything so far that you couldn't possibly agree with everything that she does.
Well,
even though she is the queen of the world.
John, isn't it?
No, well, what, you said I downloaded a reissue as though like it was something dirty that you should be ashamed of. Like.
Yeah, no.
What's your pick of the week?
Erasure, who are one of the greatest pop bands of all time, have just released, they released this last Friday. It's a live album called World Be Live from their most recent tour. It's out on CD, double CD or triple vinyl this Friday. And they still sound great. Now, I know most of it is like Billy Whiz behind the computers just pressing a button, but Andy Bell still sounds amazing.
This is Stop.
Together again. I've been waiting for a long time. We're gonna be together again. I've been connected to the right line.
So John Cadell left his air guitar at home but had his air button pushers
well,
with
you don't,
him.
They don't have guitars, Matt, so why would I bring it?
Air synth.
For other things earlier. I meant for the day, not right. for just for the couple of minutes. Okay. Claire, what's your Amazing. Selection of new music of the week?
So mine is an album that actually came out a little over a week ago, but I think it's
That's
so allowable. Good.
That's allowable,
it's so
yeah.
good that it deserves a shout out. It's from a British duo called Let's Eat Grandma. Brilliant name, and they don't have the comma in there. This is their second album, and it is called I'm All Ears, and it's beautiful. Like, I first heard them, I think it was 2013, 2014, something like that. So they had a little bit of stuff floating around. 2016 was their first full-length album, and it's kind of like dreamy, sort of lovely, soothing pop. It's like getting a little hug from the speakers. It's fabulous.
The track we have is I Will Be Waiting. Unfortunately, that's all we've time. So some very good music from yeah. both of you this week.
Oh, you sound surprised.
Yeah. No. Well, I'm surprised with John Cadell. But anyway, Claire Beck, John Cadell, thank you very much for joining us here on The Last Word on Today FM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.